As we head toward Arizona's August primary elections, we're inviting in the candidates running in contested races to talk about why they're running and some of the key issues in their contests.
You know, it's been 24 years since Arizona has had an educator at the helm of the Department of Education.
I am a proud American Muslim woman.
That although our election system is the greatest in the world, it is still far from perfect.
We need more options for our young people, more counselors, more social workers.
Common Core has been repealed by the State Board of Ed, and now we have new standards.
And we know what's possible if we keep moving forward.
The current shortcomings of the office have left our system vulnerable to cyber attacks.
We're gonna fly, fight, and win on Election Day with your help.
Today, Steve Ferrara. He's a physician who's making his first run for office as a Republican in the 9th Congressional District, which will be an open seat with Kyrsten Sinema's decision to run for the U.S. Senate. And he's with me to talk about his priorities. Steve, why have you decided to jump into politics for the first time?
Well, you know, I've spent my whole life in public service. I joined the Navy when the first Gulf War broke out because I'm really the personification of the American dream, and I wanted to give back to a country that's been very good to my family. And so I joined, and I just ended up loving the mission. I really loved being part of something bigger than myself. And so this really is a continuation. I'm a combat veteran. We have the fewest of those in Congress that we've ever had. I think that's an important voice to have. And I'm also a physician. I work at the Phoenix VA, and I was the Navy's chief medical officer. I think healthcare is our most important domestic issue, and I think I have a lot to bring to that conversation.
Well, that's a very important issue, and a lot of people both on the left and right are sort of concerned about where things are at right now. If you could prioritize what you'd like to see, if you want to focus on veterans healthcare or general healthcare, what are some things that need to be at least tweaked?
Sure. Well, I think they're both really important. And obviously, you know, I work at the Phoenix VA, so it's, and I'm a veteran myself, so that's an area. And the Phoenix VA is in CD9. So as a person representing the constituents of this area, that's a really big priority. But writ large, the healthcare system in America isn't working for folks. It's too expensive. People are paying a lot of money for poor access to care. And, you know, overall, very frustrated. I hear it all the time. So, you know, I have a great opportunity. I have a plan to actually remedy the healthcare system, if you will. You know, we need to put patients and physicians back in charge of healthcare, kind of take it away from the supply side, the hospitals, the insurers, the drug companies, and put it back where it belongs with patients and doctors managing their healthcare. And I think that'll be more cost effective. It'll be result in better outcomes for folks, and overall be a much better system.
Because of your experience with the VA, I feel like I have to ask you this, because there was, of course, the big controversy that started in Phoenix, and that really shined a spotlight on whether veterans are getting good enough care. Do you think that is, in the bigger picture, one of those, as they describe it, the cruise ship that's really impossible to turn around, and it's going to take a very long time, or are there really big steps that would make a difference?
There are. So I was the Navy's chief medical officer when that crisis occurred in 2014. So I had to become intimately familiar with it. Now, the military health system is a completely separate system from the VA health system, but we're similar in many ways because we both take care of almost 10 million patients. We're both tens of billions of dollars. And as it happened, the Secretary of the VA lost his job when the VA crisis occurred. My boss was the Secretary of Defense, so he wanted to make sure he didn't have those issues, and we demonstrated to him that he didn't. But access, quality, and safety, those are the issues we care about, and that's what patients care about. And that can absolutely be fixed. I still work at the Phoenix VA. I understand what the problems are. I can break them, but they really require an act of Congress to fix them. Most of the folks that work at the VA are really good people working very hard to take care of veterans, but the system is not supporting them adequately. In two big buckets, I would say, just for in the interest of time, are HR, human resources, being able to get the right people in the right job, and then also contracting or procurement, being able to have the physical plant, the facilities, the infrastructure needed. And those are things that we can absolutely streamline. We can fix this problem. It just takes people that understand it and then really have the will and honestly the courage to do it.
We have had our military in combat in Afghanistan and Iraq for many, many years, and obviously representing other areas of the country, other areas of the world rather as well. What do you think some of the foreign policy priorities as it relates to the military and military intervention should be for the U.S.?
Sure. Well, number one, we need to support our military. They are stretched throughout the world doing a lot of stuff right now. Last year, in 2017, something very heartbreaking for me and near and dear to me is in 7th Fleet, we lost 20 sailors strictly because of training and maintenance issues. Those are those ship-to-ship collisions, yeah. And we had an airplane crash over Thanksgiving weekend. And those are a result of sequestration. So Congress is absolutely well-positioned and appropriately positioned to make sure the military has the resources and also the mission. That's something that I think we have fewer veterans in Congress than we've ever had in the nation's history. We need folks in Congress that understand how to define the mission. Been at war for 17 years. Congress really has sort of abdicated on what to do in that situation. So that's a very high priority and something I think I'm the closest one of our constituents can get to federal policy. I want the people of CD9, if they send their sons and daughters into harm's way, they should be able to put their finger in my chest and say, hey, Steve, what are you doing to make sure my son or daughter succeeds and comes home safely? I think that's a very fair request on their part.
I want to combine, next question, immigration and the economy.
Sure.
There are people who are concerned about undocumented immigration. They want to see immigration reform. They're not sure what form that takes. Of course, we hear about DACA recipients quite often as well. And President Trump's, some of his trade policies, which here in Arizona worries a lot of people because Mexico's our number one trade partner. Can you give me some general observations about immigration and relationship with Mexico?
Sure. Well, I come from an immigrant family. I told you I am the American dream. So I understand, you know, what it is that we are a country of immigrants and it's the lifeblood of America. But we need a legal immigration system, we need to have a secure border, and we need to have an immigration policy that keeps us safe but yet supports our economy. I believe that we should have an immigration system where we bring folks in that, again, in a state like ours in Arizona, that supports our economy, meaning we bring folks legally in across the spectrum of skill set, you know, folks that are going to be helpful in agriculture and in our hospitality industries and also in our high tech and our biotech industries. So we can do all of that. You know, in terms of trade, Mexico is a very important trading partner. We're in the midst of undergoing some renegotiations with NAFTA. I think NAFTA is very important to Arizona. It brings in a lot of money and a lot of jobs. It's an important thing to keep going. Mm-hmm. And we should absolutely modernize NAFTA. It's certainly due for that, but we should preserve it.
You're in a district that is considered kind of a swing district, has gone a little bit more left, a little bit more progressive with Kyrsten Sinema representing it. How important do you think it is to work across the aisle, and how strong a supporter are you of President Trump?
So it is a swing district, which is one of the things I think is a strength for me as a candidate. I've built my whole career in the military and in healthcare on being a problem solver. When I'm taking care of a patient, whether at the VA or Maricopa County, you take the patient as they come to you, not as you'd like them to be, and you got to work through those problems. So that's something that I think has a broad appeal for folks. And also, I deployed under three presidents. I deployed under Clinton, Bush, and Obama. And the mission always is we get the problem solved regardless of politics. I'm proud of the fact I spent a year working on Capitol Hill. I was a National Academy of Sciences Health Policy Fellow, and I was able to co-author legislation that passed in a very bipartisan manner. It passed 51-0 out of our committee, and it funded a Medicare problem with $200 billion to fix a problem that had been going on for 13 years and solved a huge problem for seniors. And so that's something I'm very proud of. And in that regard, I think that's going to resonate very, very well with voters in CD9. They're going to see that I am that kind of representative that's going to go to actually get things done and not just be, you know, a partisan obstructionist.
Okay. Dr. Steve Ferrara is a Republican candidate for Congressional District 9 in Arizona. Steve, thanks for being here.
Thanks very much for having me.